Hello there. It's Susan Baracco. Welcome to the call today. Hey, everybody. Glad to have you here. I am just checking a few things. Hey, Kelly. Glad you're here today. If you would, please type in the chat and let me know that you can hear me. I think you can. But just type it in so that I'm sure that, that you can hear me. Great. Hey, thanks, Kelly. Appreciate it. While we're waiting for other folks to join us, we'll give people a few minutes. So I'd love it if you'd type in the chat and share with us our just for fun question. This is kind of a cool one about where you grew up. And I see we have somebody who's joined us just by phone. I'm not sure there isn't a name, it's just a phone number with a 919 area code. Welcome. Glad you're here. Kelly is here. Jennifer, hey, great to see you. Got a couple of Kellys. Pam is here. Welcome. Glad you joined us. Kelly says she's from Newton, New Jersey, very far from the turnpike. Good for you. Hey, Jennifer, welcome. Great. Pam says she's from Washington, D.C. And Jennifer, Baltimore, Maryland. You two are practically neighbors. See that? Marvelous. All right. Well, we'll wait just another moment here. Give people a minute to jump on and join us on this last couple of days of October. I can't believe November 1st is Friday. I'm a little personally freaked out by that, but it's okay. It happens every year, doesn't it? It just seems to happen quicker every year for me. Wow. Time change for me in my area. I don't know if you guys all do time change, but fall back this weekend. Yeesh. All right. Well, I'd love to. This is a great group. I know you guys are active. You're doing a lot of things in your business. I would love to start with hearing from everybody about a win. And whether it's big or small, would love for you to type in the chat, share with us a win from something recent, something in the last week, couple of weeks maybe, that was something that you feel really good about. And let us celebrate with you. Awesome. Pam says, asked for more business from two clients and got it. Hey, that's a huge win. Congratulations. From two existing clients. That's terrific. Something you just need to remind yourself to do, isn't it? It's kind of funny. You forget, you just keep plugging along, doing your thing, and you forget that they probably need help with other things. So good for you. That's the best kind of business to get. And if they're willing to give it to you, they are already happy. That's awesome. Good for you. Kelly says she kicked off a new government project on which she's a subcontractor. She wrote the proposal and we got the business. That's great. Another nice win. Love it. Some sharp folks in this group. So people that are moving their business forward, doing good work, taking good care of their clients. So congratulations to you both. The other Kelly says, on track to having the biggest monthly dollar amount I've ever made. Woo-hoo! Congratulations. Make sure you put that on the Facebook, all of these, when we're done here today. Share those on Facebook because everybody likes to see progress and success. It's inspiring for all of us. So yeah, way to go. Definitely. So make sure to pop over to Facebook when we're done and share those, because it's especially this time of year, it's just nice to, for everyone enjoys seeing other people and their successes. All right. Jennifer says, I completed the first draft of a short report. Happy to have it completed, but even happier, it didn't ruin my weekend working on it. It's always nice when you can avoid that. Submitted my biggest proposal ever for a client's budget plan for next year. Fingers crossed they're okay with the projects. Great. Yeah, good luck. Wow. Isn't it exciting? It's so much fun to see your business evolve and to see, you know, the kinds of things you think back a year ago, would I have ever even thought about asking or ever, you know, put myself out there in that way. And oftentimes you can really, you know, this time of year, coming down to the last 2 months of the year, the last 8 weeks of 2019, it's interesting to kind of look back and say, wow, you know, where was I even 6 months ago? And hopefully this program has been part of you continuing to evolve and build your business. Hey, Anne, I see you've joined us. Welcome, Irene. Well, welcome to you too. And I see there's someone here dialed in on the phone from a 404 area code. Welcome. I don't have a name, but welcome. Glad you're here. All right. Great, great. Let me see. And any other wins, I'm going to move on. But if anybody else has a win, if you want to post it, that would be great. We'd love to see it. Make sure you put a capital W so I know that that's what it is. And I'd love to hear, this slide says, what material are you implementing? Would love to hear if there's anything that you're trying new or different in your business. And it's not so much material, but that actually refers to the training portal and any, you know, any program or anything that you're reading about and learning about that you might be implementing. Excuse me, quick sneeze. But if there's anything that maybe you're trying a different approach, maybe via email or reaching out to people, something different that's working, maybe you're not sure it's working, maybe you've just started it, please type that in the chat. That's a benefit for everyone on the call and anyone who's watching the replay of this call. If you're trying something new and just coming up with some innovative ways to work with your clients or reach out to people, new prospects, please share that in the chat. Anything at all that you're, or maybe it is a training session in the portal that you're looking at for the first time, maybe gotten back to it for a second review to pull some gems out of that. Let us know what it is that you're working on right now. And I realized after I put that question on, just for fun question, I should have asked about a Halloween question for this week. Hopefully we forgot about Halloween until my kids are grown. Oh my goodness. All right. Kelly says she's implementing, trying to get back on track with weekly warm email prospecting. I think you submitted a question on that, didn't you? All right, I'm just going to go back and log back in. Just a minute here so I can pull up, because I had three questions and I got logged out of the system. So I'm just going back in to grab those questions. I got three pre-submitted questions and they were good ones, really good questions. So thanks for putting those in. I'm hoping that you can still see. Let me see. All right. Jennifer says, I'm working on my marketing plan. I've had so many false starts. I'm planning to focus on things that I'm relatively comfortable with and have been successful in the past, like tapping my network. Excellent. Jennifer, always worth trying some new things. Most definitely. Comfort zone is definitely something you want to think about if you push yourself to get outside your comfort zone a bit. All right. Well, I'm going to dive right in to our question and answer segment. You know the drill if you've been here before. Keep your question focused and specific. One question per person to start, and I can come back to you. And if applicable, tell me what it is that you're already considering. You know, maybe you've got some ideas about what you think might work to help you resolve or address your issue. And I am going to dive in with, let me take a look here, with the questions that were pre-submitted. Let's see, Pamela is on the call. But I've got two folks that pre-submitted questions, and you are here too. Let me just see, I'm not sure if Donna is here or not. So typically we reserve the online questions for people who are not going to be here and can't make the call, but it's not a problem. We can address them anyway because you're here. I'm going to start with Donna Moriarty. She put in a question because I believe she is not on the call. I'm just taking a quick look here. And she has a really great question. And for anyone who's here, who's on the call, if you want to type in the chat and share some ideas, this is a great question. And so, Donna, thank you for submitting it. What do you do when you lose your mojo / faith / steam for prospecting? I fell out of the practice big time, and now the voice in my head is telling me it doesn't really matter. That's not the way I get clients anyway. Why expend the energy? Remind me why it's important and effective. Great question. I am really, it's so common, and I know pretty much everyone on the phone has probably experienced this at least once or twice. It's just kind of losing your interest, losing your faith. It's easy to do that. One of the best ways to resolve that is to start small. And reminding you of why it's important and effective, it's critical. It's not just important, it's critical, especially for growing your business. So it's one thing if you want to just cruise along and not really find any new clients, maybe reaching for bigger projects, that kind of thing. But if you're looking for better clients, for one-upping, that is definitely where this comes into play. I think that we all want to get a more sophisticated client, one that has a bigger need, one that's going to pay more, right? Who wants 15 little clients that are really needy and high maintenance when you can have one or two really big ones that pay well and that you have a really strong relationship with? So one of the reasons that I would suggest you consider continuing to prospect on an ongoing basis is to stretch yourself outside of what you've been doing. Try some bigger clients. Again, shooting for a bigger, better project, a bigger, better client. So that's probably number one. If you're looking to grow what you're doing, I really think you should consider implementing a regular, if not daily, at least weekly prospecting habit. And I started out by saying you should start small. I think that really just saying, keeping it simple. And so what I say, but what I mean by starting small is, let's say that you want to send out one warm email a day. That's pretty small, pretty easy. You can start your day with that, send it out, and be done. By the end of the week, you've got five. So that's starting small, but if you do one every day, at least you've got some consistency. Another way to approach that is to also, if you want to do five a week, maybe just pick a time on Wednesday. Every Wednesday at 11 o'clock, you sit down and you crank out five emails. Same thing, if you don't want to have to do it every day. So no matter how you schedule it, the important thing is that it becomes a part of your routine. And as I mentioned, think of it as an opportunity to level up, to step up to that next level What if? What if I got an even bigger client? What if I got even an even better client, one that's paying me, you know, half of my brings in half my annual income is I can tie back to that one client. How nice would that be? You know, or that one bigger client is the reason that I reach my my next level goal of annual income. And I think that, you know, to kind of shift your mindset a little bit, get away from, oh, it's prospecting. No, actually, it's growth. I think of it as, if I don't reach out, push myself, step out there, reach out to people, new people, you know, the answer is always no if you don't ask, right? If you're not reaching out. So think of it really more, Donna, as a growth strategy. And I think that when you lose steam like that, when you're losing your interest in doing it, it's because it's become a burden and it's become boring almost to a certain degree. So I definitely recommend thinking of it as a growth strategy, not as prospecting, because that's really what it is. If you want to grow your business, you've got to reach out. You've got to do things that you have never done before. And maybe trying some new tactics, some new approaches, things that maybe you have not done in the past might make it a little bit more interesting for you, a little bit more exciting. So start small and shift to thinking that it is a growth strategy as opposed to just prospecting, just plain old boring prospecting. And I hope that's helpful. If anyone else on the call wants to type in and add their thoughts and any other suggestions they might have for Donna, that would really be helpful. All right. So I am going to go on. I have Pamela next with a pre-submitted question. I'm going to read this so that you can understand the background. And then we'll dive in. Pam said, I'm in Ed's Momentum program, working on my website, defining what makes me unique. Primarily, I write about HR and have a strong background in that area, both working in it and writing about it. I also write content for healthcare organizations and write a bit in the retail segment about customer engagement. But the last two areas, I don't have a lot of experience. I'm trying to decide if it makes sense to focus only on HR and position myself as the HR expert, or if I should keep chipping away in the other areas. Other areas do have some overlap with HR, but the main reason I'm considering this is out of a concern that if there's an economic downturn, HR-related investments are often the first to be decreased. If a company has to choose between developing employees and working with customers, they'll do the latter. So given your background, and your question was, you know, given my background, what's the best approach? And I absolutely agree. I understand that economic downturns are something that we all kind of have to keep our eye on. But I wouldn't necessarily let it, I guess, drive my business decisions. And actually, I'm going to talk a little bit about this, Pamela, and then I may bring you on. But I think primarily what I would look at is, think about all of the HR companies out there. And I'm talking staffing companies, different organizations that are, this is their industry, this is their business. If we have an economic downturn, they're going to be faced with the same thing. How did they survive? And they don't switch gears and start looking at something else. If you want to diversify, I think that's fine. But I would do it just carefully and slowly. I wouldn't do a wholesale change of what your strongest background experience is. And it sounds to me like HR is it for you. It sounds to me also like you really enjoy it. And if that's the case, then again, building relationships now, building up and getting some really strong clients in the door, I think you'd be surprised. I wrote for a very large payroll company. They were a national payroll company. I did a lot of writing for them over the course of 2 years, maybe, something like that. So I was doing a lot of blog writing, a lot of ghost writing, thought leadership, and so forth. And they look at that, the blog writing, as a way to get customers. So some companies will cut. That's true. I'm not saying that those kind of cuts won't happen. But a lot of companies look at and understand that their marketing is integral to them bringing in new customers and continuing to maintain their revenues at that level. They look at that and understand that. So it's more a matter of looking at it and thinking, am I targeting the type of companies that are going to cut and run, maybe, cut expenses or cut spending and so forth, or am I working with companies that are in this for the long haul? And I'm fortunate enough to be part of that, working for a client that's really, knows what they're doing. And economic downturns are part of the landscape, the business landscape, and they've come and gone many times over the years. And I think it's a matter of really just positioning yourself well, building a good base of clients now, bigger clients, stronger clients that aren't going to be as impacted by those types of economic fluctuations. I think that would be kind of my main thought. The other thing you could do is take a look at that HR, healthcare. I wouldn't blend retail in necessarily, because that HR and healthcare go fairly well together. If you want to head in one new direction, that might be worth taking a look at and diversifying a little bit. But I think that your experience and the wow factor that you bring with your background, I think, is really critical and important. And once you start building relationships and with bigger clients, then I think that you'll find that they're gonna absorb the change, the fluctuations a little more effectively than smaller companies. And I hope that's been helpful. Feel free to type in the chat and let me know if that's been of help to you. And if you have further questions, feel free to type in a capital Q. And expand on anything that I may have missed. All right, next question is from Anne. And another really great question. I love this. And Anne, I'm just checking to see. Yes, you are still here. I may bring you on. I'm going to read your question first, and then I might bring you on. Her question relates to the use of warm email prospecting and LinkedIn. What is the relationship between warm emails and LinkedIn connection requests in the B2B world? I know you can combine the two, but is there a protocol about trying a blind warm email first outside of LinkedIn, then following up with a connection request on LinkedIn? Is it appropriate to always use warm emails as part of a connection request with the intent to gain connection? Are blind warm emails used just when the person is not on LinkedIn? Should one send a blind warm email first, followed by a few weeks later a LinkedIn connection request as part of a strategy to get more opportunities to connect? Is there a protocol, or what is the protocol? So, great question. I think that, and I'm a huge LinkedIn fan, full disclosure here, I'm a LinkedIn fanatic and have been for many, many years. And I think LinkedIn is a tremendously powerful tool. So good for you, Anne, for looking to integrate it effectively in your prospecting. And so the short answer is no, there isn't really a protocol. I think if you took a survey of the folks in this group, who went on Facebook and said, how many people do it this way or that way, LinkedIn first, then warm email, or warm email, then LinkedIn, you might see that it's split down the middle. And I think that people mix it up and use it in different ways. And a lot of it, Amy, has to do with how active your prospects are on LinkedIn. So that might be the key. That might be the thing you want to think about and look into is, if they're super active and you see them on LinkedIn, they're commenting, they're posting things, that kind of thing, then that might be a better first place to go. If they're not on LinkedIn, like you mentioned in your question series, is then definitely going with a warm email. Obviously, you wouldn't even use LinkedIn if they aren't out there. So you'd just be focused on using warm email to reach out to someone. And if you send out a warm email first and then go on LinkedIn to connect, there's nothing wrong with that. It's getting your name in front of that person in multiple locations that's more important. And I know a lot of folks that reach out and do the invite connection request first. Once they've connected, then they follow up with a warm email saying, hey, thanks for connecting with me. Here's something that might you might be interested in, or keep me in mind if, you know, let me know how I can help you. And so you're following up with that kind of a message on LinkedIn, but also in warm email. So again, it really depends on your audience, how active they are on LinkedIn. And to a certain degree too, Ian, there's a bit of testing that goes on here. Be honest, it's not a protocol where you definitely should do it this way or not, right? There's not that hard line in the sand. It's more, let's see what works. Let's try it. Let's try doing some reaching out and getting in front of people on LinkedIn and seeing how that impacts. Are you seeing a difference in terms of receptiveness with your warm email? If you're reaching out to someone and then you follow up with a warm email, maybe a week or so later, is it having an impact on your response rate? So there's a bit of testing, a little bit of trial and error involved with this, and it's not an exact science. And it does have to do with activity level on LinkedIn. So if they're not super active on LinkedIn, they might not even see your invite. They might not go on there that often. They may not have even seen it. So you've got to kind of keep that in mind and figure out, okay, are they active? And the best way to tell is to quite literally go to their profile and take a look at their activity box, which is just like the first or second thing you see as you scroll down from their picture and their headline. And it shows all the activity. So have they actually written any of their own posts? And then what are they commenting on? And you'll be able to see that where if they like something, if they make a comment on something that someone else posted, you can click on see all activity and it'll bring up a whole list of everything they've done most recently. And that is really the best way to see, getting out of gauge quite literally, how often are they here? When was the last time they commented on something? If it was 3 months ago, then LinkedIn might not be your best first place to connect. Warm email might be a better option for you. So I hope that was helpful. Feel free to type in the chat if you need further clarification and let me know. And those are three pre-submitted questions. So now we'll open it up to anybody who wants to submit any kind of a question. Please type in a Q, capital Q first, so that I am sure I don't miss it. I'm just going to scroll back through here. Any kind of a question at all? Anything that you're curious about? Struggling with? Need some clarification on? Feel free. Right. While we're waiting, I have a question that I think I would like to ask, and would love to hear from everybody on the call today. Would love to hear how you stretched yourself outside of your comfort zone recently. This is something that we tend to get a little complacent and a little comfy at times. We don't want to do things, especially in prospecting or leveling up, stepping up to the next level in our business. So how have you stretched yourself outside your comfort zone recently? And if you haven't, feel free to say, I haven't yet, but here's what I'm planning to do, or here's what I'd like to do. So I'd love to hear from everybody on this question today. You know, it might be a situation where you're thinking about, it's the end of the year, I've got 2 months left. Maybe it's a plan that you have to go in a new direction or be a bit more bold with some of your prospecting in the new year. Maybe it's something you want to implement starting in January. Maybe it's something that you want to do for the holidays that you've never tried before, that feels a little uncomfortable. I know for a lot of folks, it's reaching back out to our networks to ask for referrals and things like that. Referrals have always been a challenge. For me, it's always been personally awkward to ask for a referral. I'm always grateful when I get them, and I get plenty these days, but it's awkward. All right. I'm hoping you guys can still hear me. Excellent. Kelly, thanks for the input. She says, asking VPs, directors to connect on LinkedIn was outside of my comfort zone, but they've responded rather well. I need to think about how to push myself in a new way. I love that. Thanks for sharing. We tend to get inside of our own heads sometimes with reaching out to people. Like, oh, they're not going to respond. They're not going to be interested. So congratulations for taking that step and then turning around and having a positive response from it. That's awesome. That's awesome. Melinda says, I recently tried sending an email to people I met at a past event regarding an upcoming event for the same organization, like similar to like Ed's 9-word follow-up. She used, hi Sarah, we met at the X luncheon last month. Are you going to the expo next week? 50% responses, very nice. That's terrific. You know, it's interesting, Melinda, because it's 50% is phenomenal, honestly. But what I like about it is it's short, very easy to read, and would, I think, easily kind of jog their memory and say, oh, yeah, I do remember meeting you at that luncheon. Good for you. That's cool. I definitely post that out on Facebook, I think, to encourage and help others as well. And maybe people would come up with some other ideas for you. But that's a really cool update. So thanks for sharing that. And it sounds like that was a little outside your comfort zone, too, based on the question. All right. Oops. And Anne had a follow-up on the LinkedIn question. When viewing their profile, should I be visible or not? Great question, Anne. I think what's tough about LinkedIn is that people are a little uncomfortable or unnerved by the fact that, geez, when I look at someone's profile, they can tell, which is not the case on Facebook, right? It works differently than Facebook. So that does feel a little bit uncomfortable. But what I want you to think about, and I go back to this all the time and all the training that I do on LinkedIn, is that LinkedIn is just one giant networking event. So if you were in person, if you were in a room filled with people, you wouldn't hide, right? You wouldn't stand behind a divider somewhere, or, you know, maybe you would, I don't know if you're a bit of an introvert, but for the most part, the idea is not to go there and hide. It's to go there and step out, be seen, introduce yourself to people, meet new folks. LinkedIn works the exact same way. One of the things that I like to do as part of my strategy, and I'm glad you asked this because it kind of fits in with what you were asking earlier in regards to strategy and LinkedIn. Part of my strategy is to get my name in front of this person. So I'm going to do it in a couple different ways. And I might, one of the nice things about when you view someone's profile is that they get a notice in their notification saying, Susan, you know, viewed your profile. I want that. I really want that because I want them to see that I was looking at them, that I'm interested. It really does get their attention. Again, only if they're active on LinkedIn. If they're not, then it's, you know, it doesn't really matter that much. Keep in mind with LinkedIn is that it's a kind of a reciprocal relationship. So if you limit what people can see about you, LinkedIn limits what you can see about people. So it's an important thing, an important point to keep in mind. Like, you might feel like, ooh, I want to, you know, knock down that privacy or that visibility level. I would strongly recommend be 100% open. 100% open. I've been on LinkedIn for 13 years, I think, something like that. which is really scary. I've been on it a long time. Yeah,
15. Well, maybe more than that. But anyway,
quite a long time. And I've honestly never really had a problem. And I have used LinkedIn pretty extensively. Maybe not as much as some, but probably on average of more than most people who are out on LinkedIn. And for a lot of different reasons, partly because I was hired to train on LinkedIn, do training and things like that. So I had to know the platform really well, but I also had the opportunity to do a lot of sales work. And so I used LinkedIn to do sales. I also was a recruiter, believe it or not. I spent almost 2 years in working for employment agencies and doing recruiting in a couple of different capacities. So I've spent a lot of time on LinkedIn. Lots of people have seen me looking at them. I've never had a problem. In all of this time, I had one creeper, one guy that sent me a message saying that I was the most beautiful woman he'd ever seen. And I laughed out loud. It's like, you obviously need new glasses, really. And so I actually reached out to LinkedIn. I forwarded his email, or I copied it. And I said, look, you know, can you get this guy off my back? And they immediately took care of it. They immediately took care of it. So I've never had a problem in that way, in that regard. LinkedIn is excellent at policing their platform. But I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. Back to the point, I don't want you to feel uncomfortable letting other people see that you've been looking at their profile, because it's another way to get your name in front of them. That's kind of a long story short of that. So don't feel that it's you're the only one doing it. You're not. That's how LinkedIn works, and that's how people are using it to get in front of the people they want to get in front of. All right. Pamela says, asked a client if I could attend a conference they were hosting in my city so I could learn more about the business. They said yes, and also gave me a writing assignment based on the conference event. Well, that's stepping outside your comfort zone. Good for you. It's amazing, right? Like, oh, what was I waiting for? Why did I not think of this before? That's terrific. And what a great way to immerse yourself in their business. And the fact that you showed impetus, that you showed the you know, that you took the step to do that was probably impressive to them on some level. So awesome. Love that story. Kelly says, I signed up for a regional conference, which will require a day full of networking, not my favorite thing, hoping to meet potential clients or at least make some interesting connections. Good for you. Yeah, when you're an introvert, it can be a little more uncomfortable. I know he at least has a podcast or an article that talks about networking for introverts. It's really interesting. So if you haven't seen that, go on to his B2B Launcher website and search through the articles. He's got a podcast with a gentleman who wrote a book about networking for introverts. It's really great. So you definitely want to check that out if you haven't. So Melinda, as a follow-up, said the 50% responses were not attending, but I then, a few days later, mentioned something I learned or saw in the subsequent follow-up. So it's nurturing. Perfect. Kind of a neat idea, Melinda. I really like that idea. That's very creative to link their attendance or not non-attendance even. It's almost even better if they didn't attend, because then you can keep feeding them with, hey, you know, I thought of this because I saw it at the conference or whatever. That's a cool, a very cool strategy, cool approach. Keep us posted. Love to hear how that goes. Irene says, I tried Ed's email conversation starter idea and used it to contact my network. I'm pretty sure you can go into settings and turn off your visibility. Oh, in regards to LinkedIn, yes, you can, but don't. After my little soapbox session about don't do that, please don't. People need to see you, and you need to see them. And it's one thing that most people don't realize is that if you limit your visibility, LinkedIn limits what you can see about other people and who you can see. So just keep that in mind. Pam says, wow, that was a creeper indeed. Yeah, but rare, I think. I agree. Seriously, I've been on LinkedIn for years and never had a problem with anything. So, yeah, he was a creeper. But I was really super impressed, Pam, with the way that LinkedIn just jumped right on it. I mean, literally, I said, you know, this is, you know, can you get this guy to go away. And they, and the next thing I know, his profile is gone. I mean, I think they just kicked him off the platform. The interesting thing is, and this is an aside, it's got nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I think there are actually groups on LinkedIn for people who, like, dating groups. Like, so if you want to like get into a group of single whatevers, or, you know, single professionals or something like that, there is an aspect of LinkedIn, but they really do a good job of policing their platform. So Kelly, thanks. Either he doesn't, yeah, she says, if you consider that perhaps you are the most beautiful woman he's ever seen, yeah, he probably doesn't get out much if that's the case. That's just so funny. It just, you know how something like that hits you just like, really? Haven't you got anything else to be funny? Oh my goodness. Yeah, crazy stuff. But thanks for that. Thanks for that comment. I appreciate it. So Sharon, let me just see. Sharon asks, she's got a question. I was in PR and did lots of freelance writing while working for an anchor client, and then decided I didn't want to pitch media anymore as a one-person agency. So I left that client and I'm restarting as freelance writing only, mostly for energy, renewable companies, etc. I haven't finished my new website yet and feel like I have to do that rather than on relying on my LinkedIn site where I have samples. Do you agree? I am doing it myself and it's taking a long time. So doing your website yourself is what I'm assuming. Yes, it does take a bit of time. Keep in mind, a couple things I want to share with you, Sharon, is that Ed has, I'm not sure if he offers it, but there's resources. If it's taking too long to get your website together, you might consider having somebody help you with that. The other thing is, I'm hoping that you're using a simple platform such as like a Wix or Squarespace or something that's kind of user-friendly. That's what I use, and I love it because it just cuts the development time in half. It makes it really easy. So hopefully that's what you're doing. Absolutely, you can use your LinkedIn site, your LinkedIn profile, and start prospecting off of that. I think that I wouldn't wait necessarily. It's important to have your website up. That's true. It's a very important part of what you're doing to build your business. And obviously the sooner you get that done, the better. But if you find that it's taking too long, you really might want to consider getting some assistance with it. Because we don't want that to be the barrier to you moving forward. That being said, I think LinkedIn I often refer to it as a mini website of you. So if your LinkedIn profile is set up well, it's an easy place for you, and especially if you've got samples there, it really is an easy place for you to reach out and kind of do business, start connecting and interacting with people without having the need, if somebody makes a comment about a website, just say, you know, it's I'm building and, you know, it's still in development. So, but you don't want to wait. I would start reaching out. So the one thing you could share and do is just start connecting. So one of the things that I talk about often with LinkedIn is that it's a marathon, not a sprint, right? So we're looking to connect with the right people. We want to be discerning as we reach out on LinkedIn. We want to be thoughtful. We want to take our time. So I would leverage LinkedIn as much as you can. I really strongly suggest that you use LinkedIn, start making connections, and see what happens. And start building your network in the industry that you want to build your network in. And that is energy, renewables, etc. If you don't have a lot of connections on LinkedIn in those industries or in those businesses, then that's where you should start. Because you just never know. You know, it's interesting to me because you just never know when someone's going to kind of roll out of the bushes and say, hey, I have a project I really need your help with. So definitely stay active on LinkedIn while you're building your website. And I hope that helps. Certainly feel free to add in the chat if you need more clarification on that. Sharon says she was using WordPress. WordPress is a great tool. It's just really, for me, it was too challenging. And I needed something that I could use, that I could just kind of dive in, do myself, and get it done. You said you're getting some nibbles, one for a white paper, but no actual business. And you were in energy and utilities for 20 years. That's amazing. So you definitely have the right background to bring to the table for that industry. Obviously, you know it inside and out. But I think it's worth considering getting some help with WordPress in particular. I'll see if you can find. I'm sure if you put something out on Facebook in the Facebook group, they'll you'll be able to get some tips or some referrals for someone who might be able to help you get it done. If that makes sense for you, if that's something that you should do. But yeah, I wouldn't wait. And definitely use the. And you've got quite a few. I see your next comment about you have quite a lot of connections in the industry. LinkedIn's going to be a powerhouse for you. That's really great. You might think about, depending on where you are in your business, you might think about starting out with doing a couple of posts on LinkedIn, because that's going to put you in front of your entire network. And writing your own material. So, in other words, writing your own blog post and putting it, posting it on LinkedIn as you, with you as the author, and start putting some ideas. And it doesn't have to be long. You know, don't feel like you've got to write a 2,000 word blog post. You could tackle one. What are the top two things, mistakes you see being made in that industry? I know I was talking with someone on one of these calls recently, a gentleman who's in the focusing on the same things, renewables, and he just felt that they were a lot of the companies he was approaching and talking to were not using the right, you know, they weren't marketing to women. They were really just using too much technical language, and they should have used, and not, he was not being disparaging, but just saying marketing to women because women make most of the buying decisions in most households, and in high-end households as well, you know, which is, you know, kind of what he was looking at. And we had a good conversation about the fact that, you know, he felt, geez, they should consider making this change. And I said the same thing. I suggested making, perhaps writing a series of articles addressing that, just different things to think about. So that might be a fun way for you to shake the bushes on LinkedIn. Pamela, that's just what we were talking. That's just what I was talking about. Her question is, Pamela says, if I want to start establishing myself as an expert, what do you think about writing articles in LinkedIn related to HR issues I cover? Absolutely. 100%. It's a great way. So without actually, what I love about doing that on LinkedIn is that if you've got, let's say you've got 2,000 connections on LinkedIn, all 2,000 of those people, those connections receive your post. That's a whole lot more than would come to my website. I can tell you that. My website is okay. I'm doing okay bringing people into my website, but it's not, I certainly don't get 2,000 eyeballs, sets of eyeballs looking at my blog posts on my website. I post them in both places. I do my website first, and then I give it usually 2 days, 2 to 3 days for the search engines to index it, and then I put it out on LinkedIn. And that way there's no penalty for duplicate content. So yes, definitely, Pamela. And again, doesn't have to be long. Think series. Maybe write a couple of blog posts over the course of a month, maybe two a month or something like that. And start sharing your thoughts. You could even talk about one of your thoughts was what we were talking about earlier with the economic downturn. Do a little bit of research on that. See what you can come up with, other stories that you might be able to share, or and create an article around that. I think it'd be really interesting. Great. Sharon, thanks for the follow-up. She says, I don't have a blog that was posted before, and I'm writing more to publish soon. I'm only going after companies that are fairly large and can afford it. Perfect. And so, yes, posting on LinkedIn, if you write if you write some kind of a blog, a couple of articles, LinkedIn's a great way to do it. Now that you're connected with these people, it automatically goes out to them. Kelly says she changed her viewing from private to public. Absolutely. see how it goes. But I don't think you'll see any difference in terms of exposure. You know, you're not gonna get yourself into trouble by doing that. I think it's better for people to see who you are and see your smiling face, so that they can. And if they're looking for a writer, you definitely want them to see who you are. Yeah, Sharon says, great idea about posting web first. Yep, then 2 days later. Absolutely, for LinkedIn. I learned that a while back, because you don't want to, the search engines, my understanding, and I am not an expert. I'm going to just say that up front. I'm no expert on all things internet or SEO, but my understanding is that if you give the search engines a chance to index your website 2 days, maybe three, and then post it on LinkedIn, there will not be any. They won't penalize your website for duplicate copy. Awesome. Yep, Sharon says, yeah. Sounds right from SEO perspective. Yep. Excellent. Wow, all kinds of cool stuff we talked about today. This has been fun. Would love to hear what's been most valuable, what we've talked about today. Is there anything that kind of stood out that you thought, that's kind of fun? That was really helpful. Type a capital V so that I know. And if you have a question, feel free. All right. And Deb, I see your question. I still don't have a blog. How do you recommend setting up articles on my site first before LinkedIn? Right now, I'm just posting to LinkedIn. So Deb, you don't have to post. You don't have to have one on your website. That's kind of a personal thing. One thing you want to be sure of, I do it in both places just to cover myself, you know, to make my website look, and to keep my website active from an SEO perspective. But what I would suggest is making sure that you always end your posts on LinkedIn with just a subtle link back to your website. So if you'd like to learn more about Deb, click here, and it sends them back to your website. So they would go off of LinkedIn and directly to your website. And keep it subtle. Don't make it like this blaring, hey, you know, today only, and, you know, none of that kind of stuff. Keep it really subtle. Just like, if you'd like to learn more about how I can help you, click here, something like that. But you don't necessarily have to have a blog on your website unless that's something that you're really into. The good news is that you don't have to have different posts for your different places. You can post something on your website and then post the exact same word for word article on LinkedIn. Right. Ann says LinkedIn info has been valuable. Thanks. I'm glad. Deb, I hope that answered your question. Donna says, it's Donna, just arrived. Welcome. We got stuck in traffic. Yuck. Where would I go to find out more about SEO? Even as much as those who say they don't know much, I know even less. Yeah. Oh, no. I hear you. So, Deb, what? Hold on. Donna, sorry. Donna, I'm going to send you back to Facebook, to the Facebook group, because I am by no means an expert. I would recommend that you jump on our Facebook group and say, what resources would you suggest for me learning more about SEO? And just post that question, and you will hopefully get plenty of responses. And if not, maybe Ed can dive into. But that's what I go back and just ask the bigger group. I think it would be your best bet. Sharon says, all good to hear what others are doing and get all the info plus chance to ask questions. Thanks, Sharon. Kelly says, posting articles on LinkedIn was valuable. Great question. Pam, she said, do you use Facebook for your business or mostly LinkedIn and your website? I started with all of them, but really never used Facebook because I don't think it's where my potential clients are. Wondering if that process is accurate, that thought process. I agree with you, Pam. That's exactly what I do. So I have a Twitter account. I have a Facebook account. I also have an Insta, which I'm really not very good at. Instagram. The one place that I focus all of my energy is LinkedIn. And partly it's because I know the platform the best, but more because that's where I have the opportunity to connect with my perfect client. That is where I have made tremendous connections, referrals. I've gotten the most exposure. For me, LinkedIn is where the value is for what I do for a living and for the kind of writing that I do. I help people write books. So that doesn't mean that there aren't potential clients on Facebook. But for me, I still keep, I cross post. So if I'm doing a thought leadership, a little blurb, or I'm sharing an article, I do that on all of my platforms, across all platforms. So I cross post anything that I'm talking about. But the place that I spend the most of my time actively looking to connect is on LinkedIn. And again, it depends on who your client is, where you think they're, you know, where they're spending their time, how active they are. I've made that comment a couple times today. It's really important that you think about how active are they on the platform. Like, you know, depending on your audience, really. And so following your audience, there's nothing wrong with that. I really don't. I don't think so. So I hope that helps. Deb says, a few weeks ago, you guys had an online session on Scrivener. I know I use it a lot. It's so helpful to have the research and other info all in one place. It saved me a lot of time. Many thanks. Great. And then question about, do you post to Medium, and do you say you were using Snapchat or do not use Snapchat at all for business? I do not use Pinterest for business. I don't even have a business account, honestly, or an account on Pinterest at all. I do have a Medium account. I started posting there regularly and just stopped. There's a lot. it's just a lot. And I felt that I was going to really hone down and focus on the ones that were most valuable to the business I'm trying to build. So, but I think Medium is one of those places that'll probably be a good place to cross post to. That might not be a bad idea. I've gotten away from it personally, but that doesn't mean it's not the right thing to do. So Pam says, thanks for all the great information. You're very welcome. Awesome. Glad this was helpful today. Deb says, what are your thoughts on Facebook with B2B? So I know a lot of people who have tremendous success with Facebook. I do know that people who have more success oftentimes they're spending a lot of time. There's a lot of thought and strategy that goes into it, number one. Number two, they are also investing a certain amount of money. I have no idea how much, but I do know people who advertise or boost their posts, that kind of thing. So that's part of it with Facebook. But again, I am by no means a Facebook expert. And that, Deb, would also be a question that you could post on in our Facebook group to see, is anyone having success finding B2B clients on Facebook? And if so, how? I think that would be an interesting question. So action items, anything that's either we talked about today, or even if we didn't talk about it today, do you have an action item with 8 weeks left of this wonderful calendar year? Anything that you're going to be focusing on in the coming weeks? Because we won't talk again until the end of November. Donna says she's focusing more energy on LinkedIn prospecting and nurturing. Great. Deb says she's sticking with LinkedIn for now. You know, I wouldn't discount any of the social media platforms, because to be honest, Facebook is powerful. I personally don't use it, but that doesn't mean it's not powerful. It is a very powerful tool, and I really do strongly suggest that you put that question out in the Facebook group for other people to see and get some feedback. I think you'll be really surprised, and I think you'll find it very helpful. It could be wise to explore that with the bigger group. Sharon says, get your website finished. Yes, and keep on posting on LinkedIn. Absolutely, stay active there. Pam was going to create content calendar for LinkedIn posts. Keep it simple. short posts are also good. You don't have to do anything super long. Kelly's going back to the training portal and looking at what module to tackle next, maybe the updated LinkedIn module. Great. Awesome. Well, it is top of the hour. Pam, take a look at, she's asking how short, take a look at my profile. Go find me and you'll see some of my stuff is just a picture with a comment. And it might give you some ideas. So you could do a mixture of things. You could do a post an article that you've written yourself, or some of the other things are just, and I can tell you, Pam, that I get a lot of comments and activity off of those simple, a picture with a quote on it. Silly and crazy as it is, I get a lot of comments. It's really fascinating. Would never have guessed that. I've been doing that for a while now. Kelly says, I'll review the Networking for Introverts course and we'll dive into those on LinkedIn who have viewed me now that I'm making myself public. There you go. Excellent. Well, folks, thank you. This has been a terrific, terrific call today. I'm so grateful that you are all here and for the interaction. It makes it so much more valuable for everyone, whether you've contributed or not, and people that are going to be listening to the recording afterward. Super helpful when you come with suggestions and ideas, questions. So thank you for coming in and being active on the call. I want to wish everyone a happy Halloween for those of you who are into that and celebrating and hopefully having some fun this week. Be safe and look forward to seeing you folks all on Facebook. And don't forget to use that Facebook group to ask questions and reach out to Ed and I so that we can help you. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you all soon.